Hello, and welcome to our Secular Overeaters podcast series, where you'll hear from speakers who have found recovery from food and other addictions without God. For additional information, go to secularovereaters.org. And now let's get to today's podcast.
Welcome to the Secular Overeaters Comparative 12-Step Study Group. My name is Dee, and I'm a compulsive overeater and the facilitator for today. The purpose of this group is to discuss the 12 steps, one at each meeting, and to share our personal experiences with the step or anything related to the theme of the step. Many of us are inspired by the 12-step approach, but find that some of the original language and concepts don't align with our personal beliefs. During this meeting, we will read several different interpretations of the steps and discuss, as the varied individuals we are, what makes sense to us and what helps our recovery. As always, please take what you like and leave the rest. This group does allow crosstalk, but please make sure it's supportive. We don't have time limits on these shares, so please be aware of how many people are in the meeting and be mindful of the length of your share. This month, we will be discussing step three. We will be reading eight versions of the step: the OA traditional, freethinker, Buddhist, Cleveland atheist, humanist, practical, proactive, and SOS secular organization for sobriety. These sources can be found in the literature and websites listed in the chat and in the guide link. Please take a turn reading a version of the step and say pass when you are finished. I will call on hands in the order raised. Jody?
So the OA principle of faith, traditional OA, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Free thinker made a decision to entrust our will and our lives to the care of the collective wisdom and resources of those who have searched before us. Buddhist made a decision to go for refuge to this other power as we understood it in the past.
Jen?
Cleveland made a decision to be open to spiritual energy as we take deliberate action for change in our lives. Past.
Andrew?
Humanist, we care for our fellow men and women, particularly those who have struggled in problem. Past.
Eve?
Practical, committed to a lifestyle of recovery, focusing only on what we could control. Past.
Amanda?
Proactive. Moment by moment, I take a mindful pause to deal with my life calmly and effectively. Pass.
Margie?
SOS. I made a decision to entrust my will and life to the care of myself, the collective wisdom of those who have struggled with the same problem, and to those in support of me.
We are now open for discussion about the steps. What does step three mean to you, and what are your impressions of the different versions we just read? A link to the screen share handout is in the chat if you'd like to continue looking at the steps during the discussion. Please raise your hand when you're ready for a turn, and please allow everyone a chance to talk before speaking again. Who would like to begin?
I'm happy to start us off.
Okay, welcome.
Hi, I'm Eve. I'm a compulsive overeater. I am from the UK, and I'm a relative newcomer to OA. I've been in the program for 17 days today, and I'm actually working step three now. And obviously, it's the first time I'm sort of working the step, so I'm coming to it new. And I take a huge amount of value from seeing all the different ways step three is framed in these different versions, because I sort of come from a background where everything was very prescriptive. I was raised in a very religious household without much choice, and it's never suited me. But I especially like and find sort of a comfort in the parts that talk about I'm just scrolling through my versions to try and find where I can refer to, the collective wisdom of those who struggle with the same problem. That has been, so far, it's the most powerful force I felt in my life, I think, probably ever, especially in regards to eating. And And I already am in a place. I'm exploring my relationship to a higher power, in a sort of more spiritual, more. I guess you would talk about exploring God, but I'm not really with that. But in terms of coming from where I'm at already, I'm already in a place where I trust the collective wisdom. I already believe in the collective wisdom, and it's something that I'm pretty sure that I feel very able to turn my will and my life over to that collective wisdom, because you know I'm aware that I can't do it. I don't have that power within me, and there's just a huge amount of resources and experience that goes before me there. Yeah.
Thank you. AJ?
Good morning. I'm AJ. I'm recovering compulsive eater and sugar addict in North Carolina, or wherever I am. The two that jumped out at me, and to echo a little bit what I just heard, I do love the idea of collective wisdom as a higher power. And humanist kind of echoes that for me. We turn to our fellow men and women, particularly those who have struggled with the same problem. That's what attracted me to OA in the first place many years ago. And I have felt most of my fat life, which hasn't been all of my life, that people who weren't overweight did not understand. And I would be told by, you know, loving family and doctors and whatever, that all I needed to do was get the right diet. And that never worked for me. So I really was drawn to a place where others struggled with my same problem. Another thing that jumped out at me today was the practical, committed to a lifestyle of recovery, focusing only on what we could control. And the word control doesn't come up in the traditional 12 steps. In fact, we are encouraged to give up the idea of control and turn to a higher power. And that never appealed to me, ever. I thought, you know, moment by moment, day by day, one day at a time, I could have control. So when I saw that word today, it jumped out at me. I'll stop there. Thanks.
Andrew?
Hi, I'm Andrew from Austin here. As in how I didn't really love the humanist gender language. I think that should be more inclusive. The practical and proactive really resonated with me, focusing on what we can control and being mindful. And finally, in higher power, as I understand it, is really an idealized future state of myself that is providing guidance to me. And the combination of focusing on what we can control and being mindful, I find it seems to generate these ismet moments almost, that just kind of make me think, like, wait a minute. So my wife and I were eating dinner the other night, and when I was eating, I just had this realization, like, hey, that's a lot of food on my fork. And so I like took it a little bit and got a little less and ate it. And I was like, wait a minute, I just did that. And then I continued to do that for the rest of the meal. So kind of being open to those sorts of experiences that allow you to recalibrate, what I call it, basically I'm learning, relearning how to eat, how to feed myself. I find this is really helpful. So, with all our thoughts.
Thank you. Amanda?
Hi, I'm Amanda, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. When I look at step three, as someone who's still relatively new to the program and hasn't intentionally started working the steps, for me, I get a lot of ego from step three, like in the sense of, I think a lot of the variations of step three really kind of boil down to setting your ego aside and realizing that you will more than likely need some sort of outside resource, tool, intervention, something to help you heal on this journey. And I think that's a difficult one for a lot of people. I know for me, there's a lot of pride and shame attached to this and shame attached to it. And there's a lot of struggle to set aside pride and admit that, hey, I need help with this. I'm not equipped fully within myself to be able to handle this. And I think step three, at least the way I see it, is a lot of dealing with that, coming to terms with that fact, and figuring out the best way for yourself to set aside that ego, set aside that pride, and collect those tools and resources, whatever they may be, to help you along this journey. So that's kind of where I got it. Thank you. I'll pass.
Holly?
Hey, three of them stuck out for me. The free thinker, the part about using the resources of those who have searched before us is like, why reinvent the wheel kind of thing. Like, you know, other people have had success with these tools and what can help us and move us along, move me along with my program and how I'm going to be free from this. So that stuck out for me. Also in the Cleveland, being open to spiritual energy as we take deliberate action for change. So, I mean, again, for me, spirituality has always been kind of like, I have a lot of fears. I have a lot of different outlooks on spirituality. I don't know what mine is necessarily, and I'm always searching. But being open to that as being a tool for me and how that can help with my program. And then the biggest one for me was practical, focusing on only what we can control. So I think for me, it would be like, I've spent so many years being, I'm overweight because my ex-husband did this, or I ate because I'm sad about someone else did this, or my job or my money or whatever. And, you know, focusing on only what I can control is a really big step, I think, because I have to start holding myself accountable, which, again, the difference between traditional OA and SO, where we are now, is somebody said this earlier, but I do have to take responsibility. No one else is putting this food in my mouth and saying, you have to do this. So that's it for me.
Thank you. Jen?
I think TJ was next.
And then I'll go. Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you. I listening to everybody so far, I know two things. One, I'm in the right place with OA, and two, I'm in the right place with secular OA. Because a lot of the things that people had already said, you know, it just resonates with me. And this step three was tough for me, and still continues to be a struggle at times. Someone has suggested writing a letter to your higher power and say, this is what I want you to do. And I did that. And I realized that my higher power was the person I wanted to be. So now I keep thinking that when I'm reaching out to my higher power, and somebody had said this before, I really want to be my future self. So I do enjoy the collective wisdom of the group and hearing everybody. I've been only in program for 6 weeks, and hearing people that have been in 20, 30 years is really gives me hope. And then thinking of my future self and what I want it to be, what I want myself to be, is another good way for me to you know, talk to my higher power, being myself rather than some kind of deity. And it kind of reins me in when I make choices that are sometimes difficult. So thank you very much, everybody. Thanks for your service. And I am TJ, a compulsive overeater, and I will pass.
Hi, yes. I'm a sugar addict and compulsive overeater. Boy, a lot of what everybody's saying is just touched off about a bunch of different things I wanted to think about. I don't know if anybody went to the DBT workshop we had last week, but it was like really cool. And the presenter talked about her higher power being the wise mind. And I hadn't really heard that term. I've always thought for myself, I was always trying to turn to my higher self, but I really like the word wise mind. And I sort of feel, you know, like that fits into what TJ and some other people have been talking about. And it's sort of like paying attention to my wiser self. I don't believe in a God, but I do believe that somewhere underneath, you know, getting rid of all that food that I've been stuffing down, that I can find a wiser self in there. And another thing about this step, they often talk about this step as being the, you know, pause step. And I think only one of the steps talks about this, the proactive. But I think that this is what they were trying to do by, you know, encouraging everybody to pray, is just to do something and take a break. Of course, that's not going to be my choice. I'm going to go out and start using, you know, try and use the tools. Like maybe if something's happening to me, I will write about it. So I don't need to turn to, you know, traditional religious solutions for that. I also liked what I can't remember her name right now, but the woman was talking about putting the ego aside. That I think is really cool, because I definitely, you know, before coming into OA, and I didn't come here till I was 57, I thought I could figure this out. You know, I'm part of the pioneer Americans, and maybe people in other countries have this too, but you just pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You don't rely on other people. And even the times when I did rely on other things, you know, like weight loss programs and stuff like that, it just never worked for me. So this is also bringing me to the OA principle of faith, which always kind of sounds religious, but I do feel like if I am in this program and I'm surrounded by people who have found recovery, that gives me faith that I can maybe find recovery as well. And I do think that that's why it's really important for us to be surrounded by people who are going through our exact thing. I mean, you know, we all have our little nuances, but it's just really different when I think back to, you know, doctors and nutritionists who had no, you know, inkling what it was like to be a compulsive overeater, just say, oh, just eat less, or, oh, you know, try doing, you know, this or this or this. And I'm like, you just don't get it. You know, like telling me to start eating something, you know, healthy. I mean, I binge on carrots, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. It's about the behavior. And it just happens to be, you know, sometimes I put in higher caloric food. Anyway, I feel like I've been jumping around a lot, but I really appreciate what everybody's brought up, a lot of different perspectives. Thanks. Pass.
Hi, I'm Annie.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Annie. I'm quite new to OA. And I'm really glad I'm here at this particular discussion. And I just wanted to share like one idea that came to me when I hear people say higher power, is just instead of higher, I think wider, just like beyond myself. And I haven't figured out what word works for me instead of power. It's not really power, but I was playing with like insight, maybe wisdom, like, not exactly sure what that part is yet, but the wider was working for me, and feels kind of affirmed by several things in the reading and that other people were saying. Thank you.
I see it says three participants' hands raised, but I don't see them in order. My apologies. Jody?
I think Tam was before me, but go ahead, Tam. Why don't you go first?
I am Tam. I'm a compulsive eater. I have been thinking about step 11, and, you know, in the traditional steps, it talks about conscious contact. And what I've found is that it has been sending me back to step three. Because my current version, my current idea of a higher power based on step three is the sum is greater than the parts. So that, you know, all the input I get from meetings and people I Zoom with and my sponsor, that that has sort of been my higher power. But, and I don't know, I do a lot of it. I Zoom with five different people a week, including a sponsor. I have three people I just have Zoom conversations with, and then I have an accountability buddy I Zoom with three times a week. So you would think that I would feel that conscious contact. But for some reason, I don't. And I'm not sure why. And so I feel like it's time for me to go back and do step three all over again to find. And for me, I have learned that it is better to say a power. Wait. I don't say a higher power. I say a power greater than myself. And that means, you know, because when I'm in control, I make the decisions that are not always in my best interest. But when I look at something greater than that, and, you know, right now the sum is greater than the parts, kind of fulfills that. It makes more sense to me. I know it's like nuanced, but I don't know. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Jody, you want to jump in?
Sure. Thanks. I, Jody, compulsive overeater and sugar addict, I am new to secular OA, but I started with OA a little over 2 years ago and did do the traditional step work with a sponsor, but struggled with the religious kind of infusion of into the step work. And I am grateful to have found secular because I just feel like I need to re-examine some of the steps and really solidify what works for me. And for step three, that's one of the big ones that I think I struggled with, because I don't discount the fact that I on my own cannot do this thing. Like, I clearly for 50 some years was unsuccessful in all of the things that I tried, and my mode very much so, especially in the deep struggles of food addiction, was isolation, and, you know, secretiveness and not being honest either with myself or with other people about how much I was struggling. And so I am very clear on the fact that I cannot do this by myself, that I cannot do it alone. But rather than saying I have no part in it and kind of handing it over to some higher power, I feel like as I'm trying to examine this, the 12 steps in a different way, it's more of a collaborative thing. Like, I do have a part in this, absolutely. But I can't, I need help from community. I need help from tools and the wisdom of people who have been in the same place that I am in and am going through, just, you know, the understanding. So So that's been really helpful for me to think about it in that way, and very helpful to hear other people's take on it as well. With that, I pass.
Marilyn?
Hi, I'm a compulsive overeater, I guess. I've always had issues with weight all my life, but I was always able to get back to goal. I always had the control. I could conquer anything, but I've never had an understanding of addiction. I don't understand the 12. I mean, I do understand it now that I've researched it, but the 12 step is still foreign to me, and I hope to find some help there. As I've aged, lost people, lost control, I seem to have lost my own ability to control things, and maybe there's the denial and anger involved. I don't know. I'm trying to figure everything out. Maybe it's just a form of giving up, not caring. But I'm searching for a way to regain that control because I need that. And I realized, like everybody else has been saying, that we can't do it alone. I'm very thankful for this 12-step thing, because I realized I have an addiction and I have to do something. I pass.
We will now take turns reading different authors' insights on step 3 and then share our thoughts again. Please raise your hand when you're ready for a turn and say pass when you're done. Jen?
Step 3 insights. Beth H. What worked for me was to make a commitment to being in recovery. It's a good exercise to write out what being in recovery means to you. And this is from her book, We're Not All Egomaniacs, Adapting the 12 Steps for Alcoholics with Low Self-Esteem. Martha Cleveland and Arliss G. The third step teaches us another way. We learn to make active, examined decisions. We push ahead in a time of crisis rather than fall back into our old ways. We learn to step back from ourselves, to take time and to apply new knowledge. With the help of the third step, we take full responsibility and begin to guide our own destiny. And this is from page 38 of their book, The Alternative 12 Steps, A Secular Guide to Recovery. Pass.
Eve?
Stephanie Covington. The difference between willfulness and willingness is this. Willfulness is gaining power over people and situations. Willingness is being receptive to new possibilities. And that's from page 53 of Stephanie Covington's book, A Woman's Way Through the 12 Steps, 1994. Pass.
Jody?
Jeffrey Munn, the practical version of this step keeps your life in your hands. Instead of turning anything over, you are empowering yourself to commit to a life of consistent self-improvement. From staying sober without God, the practical 12 steps to long-term recovery from alcoholism and addictions. With that, I pass.
Amanda?
OA 12 and 12. When we're considering taking an unusual action, we will want to consult with a sponsor or spiritual guide. It is not this person's job to decide for us. No human can do that. And that's from page 22 of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, second edition, 2018. And if no one else wants to read, I'll go ahead and do Serge Pringle's.
Thank you.
Serge Pringle, as we have seen in step 3, there are two components to every situation you're in. There is the situation itself, and there is what it triggers in you. Taking a pause allows you to pay attention to the two components. And that's from page 45 of the Proactive 12 Steps, A Mindful Program for Lasting Change, 6th edition, 2021.
We are now open for discussion on these interpretations. Any hands? Jen?
I think the the Stephanie Covington thing about the difference between willfulness and willingness just kind of sparked something in my head, just thinking about how much for me this program is about willingness. And, you know, I did willfulness before when I was pushing myself through, you know, diets and like making myself eat an exact way. And I could only, sustain that for so long. And hopefully when this is something that's about willingness instead of willfulness, it's going to last longer. But I also feel, you know, like willingness, I think this is why they, you know, they talk about like one day at a time. And for a lot of us, it's like 1 minute at a time or even 1 second at a time. You know, it's like that reach for that substance is like right there, and just doing whatever we can to not go for it is important. And I just know, like whenever I have willingness, I just really try to grab onto that because it feels so fleeting to me. It's not something, you know, that I can force. But I guess I can be open to willingness, you know, 1 minute at a time. Anyway, so I was just thinking about that with the insights. I think I'll pass for now.
CJ?
Hello. I've been reading Martha Cleveland's book, and I found it to be inspirational, to be honest with you. And when she described the third step or her interpretation of it, I kept thinking, you know, the difference between a higher power outside of myself and the higher power that's within me. So ultimately, I realized as I've been going through this, and it's been a short time, I admit, that ultimately every decision I make is my decision. Now, I take inspiration from the literature. I take inspiration from the group and from the fellowship. And I take inspiration from my sponsor. But ultimately, every decision I make regarding food is mine in the moment. And I think, again, to my better self, my future self of where I want to be, the identity I want to have in the future. And ultimately, that decision lies on me. So I realize I do have control. But that control is granted by the wisdom of others, and it's granted by my sponsor and granted by literature, like you know, of hope, like the book on body image that OA has. I've been reading that, and I'm like, you know what, these people went through the same thing as me, and they came out the other side. And if I make the right decisions, then I will be there too. So that's how I took Martha Cleveland and Arliss's interpretation.
Thank you. AJ?
The one that got my attention, the Jeffrey Munn, the practical version of this step keeps your life in your hands. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier about control and how the idea of control is not what we get from the original 12 steps. And I really like it that in secular OA, we are not only allowed, but encouraged to keep our lives in our hands. And it says, instead of turning anything over, you are empowering yourself to commit to a lifestyle of consistent self-improvement. And that really appeals to me, the Jeffrey Munn. And that's it. Thanks.
Jody?
Hi, Jody, compulsive overeater and sugar addict. A lot of these resonated with me, but I think what really the parts of it that really jumped out, like in Martha Cleveland and Arliss G and Jeffrey Munn, that piece of, I think that's where in the past I've gotten really stuck with the traditional steps, is that idea of, you know, just hand it over, and that just didn't ever feel right to me. So that idea, again, it's what others have been speaking about too, is that we do have a piece of this as well, even if we are seeking support from community, from others, wisdom and such. But I think the part that I really still struggle with, especially in times of overwhelm, in times of crisis, you know, just things that happen in life, stressors and illness and losses and stuff like that, is that how do I keep from falling back into old patterns? And so, like, when with Martha Cleveland and Arliss G, how it talked about in times of crisis to really take those as opportunities to apply what we've, you know, been working on, maybe in times when things are going well. And that's a pattern that I still need work on, because I tend to fall back into old habits when things get tough. But I appreciate how, you know, Jeffrey Munn talks about it. You know, it's empowering myself to commit to a life of consistent self-improvement. And it is, it's a commitment. And I know when I have done things to support myself and support my program, and to, you know, really most importantly is reach out, you know, when I'm struggling and say it out loud and talk to other people who get it, that's when I can get through those times without taking refuge in the food. I pass.
Thank you. Eve?
Hi, Eve, compulsive overeater. There's a few things that stand out to me here, and a lot of it is in sort of the willingness and willfulness comparison. I think for me, willfulness is often looked like basically just solely relying on what the resources I already have in myself and things I already know, and not seeking new stuff and just expecting it to work, thinking I should be able to do this. Why can't I do this? I should be able to, like, over and over again. And, you know, trying to sort of solely self-direct for me has been just a completely futile exercise. Because ultimately we're all facing something that isn't really it's not caused by willpower or a lack of willpower. Like, willfulness can't come up against that, because that's not the reason, right? But you, in saying you can't solely self-direct, I'm trying not to sort of take away agency there, because like it says in the Martha Cleveland Arliss G part, we learn to step back from ourselves, to take time and to apply new knowledge in making active examined decisions, right? That's very deliberate and that's very conscious, and that is something that we can do for ourselves. And it's not willful to do that, because you're stepping back and you're trying to take in other resources to help you do that. Out to me. And then also in the Serge Prengel part, talking about there are two components to every situation you're in, the situation and the trigger, that resonates hugely for me, because often it has been like life-changing for me to evaluate my perception versus reality of a situation, because the reaction to my perception can be massively inflated to what's going on in reality. It's all based in fear, what's going to happen, like what might this person be thinking about me, what might be happening here that I'm not aware of, whereas the reality is much simpler. And I sort of have been an emotional overeater, and that tends to be my trigger. And it's just taking a pause to allow you to pay attention to the difference, sitting there and recognizing that reality is, and the truth of the situation is very different to what you're perceiving, can be massively, massively helpful, I've found. Yeah, that's all I've got. I'll pass.
Thank you. Amanda?
Hi. So from all of these, I got one word kind of kept triggering over and over again in my head, and that was mindfulness. And it instantly made me associate with something I've been practicing with my therapist and applying to my what I currently consider my abstinence, which is just being mindful while I'm eating and being mindful around my choices concerning food. And she has kind of these three C's that she hammers over and over again, and I hammer over and over again to myself. And I think it applies really well to all of these insights, and that is calm and compassionate curiosity. And for me, that is really beautiful, and it works really well because it is gentle. It is soothing in a way, and it is gently accountable, which I like, because Jeffrey Munn, I find that all the his versions of the steps are very, they're very good at keeping you accountable for yourself. It's empowering, it's gently accountable. But like Beth Eich and Martha Cleveland and Arliss G. Serge, and even the OA 12 and 12 and Stephanie Covington, I feel like there is a lot of stressing of being mindful and being curious about your actions and your behaviors around food, because then you don't have to white knuckle anything when you are making choices around food. You can be calm, you can be curious, and you can be compassionate with yourself. And then you can slowly build this habit of being more mindful. And then you'll find yourself finding, you know, making better choices because you've learned, instead of just, you know, white knuckling it and trying to force yourself in that willfulness. You know, willpower is such a fickle thing, but willingly making a choice and choosing to examine those things is very powerful and calm, which is a big one for me. So that's what I have. I will pass.
Thank you, Claire.
Okay, so I don't know how much you were able to hear or not, but I guess basically the gist of what I'm saying is that what Serge writes is a very simple statement, but it puts me in the moment for looking at my behavior and how my any temptations, for instance, to just behave in the same way when I'm feeling emotional or having a reaction or feeling bored or whatever it is, it's something for me that can, I hope, stay in my mind to be in the moment. And that's how I see that writing. Thank you.
Margie?
Hi, all. Several things have jumped out at me. And the Martha Cleveland and the Serge Pringle, I think Serge puts it very precisely, but she kind of elaborates on the fact of mindfulness, just like Claire was just saying. I think that's the key practical message here. But what I really like is something that really resonated with me today is what Jeffrey Munn says in his second phrase: you're empowering yourself to commit to a lifestyle of consistent self-improvement. And I spent probably 15, 20 years before coming back to OA in 2019, I spent the two decades just giving up on this entirely. Without hope, I think, as Jenny said early, getting back into these rooms and seeing other people that have been successful at getting to recovery gives me hope. And I can really commit myself to just consistently self-improvement throughout the rest of my life, and especially on this particular topic. So that just really jumped out to me. There's parts of your life where you're really just in survival mode. I'm sure all of you have experienced that, where you're just, you know, you're doing what needs to happen every day and you don't have time to think about self-improvement. But then, you know, your life cycles around and you have time for it. You have to realize that that's an important piece and to pick it up again. So the Jeffrey Munn spoke to me today. Thank you.
Thank you, Margie. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you, everyone, for participating in this group. Together, we get better. If you'd like to hear recordings from past alternative step discussion meetings, you can check the Alternative 12 Steps page on secularovereaters.org.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a donation.